Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin Mem Beis. We go back to Mem Alpha Mem Beis, and I'm going to go all the way back to the Gemara, meaning we finished with the Mishnah yesterday. We actually started the Gemara yesterday, but the entirety of today's daf is all going to be riding on a Braisa. So we're going to start today with the Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, immediately after the Gemara, before we start with the Braisa, again, where are we? Just to ground ourselves, or orientation. And that is that we are now currently in the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we're talking about Shechur Eved Kenani. Yonah and Eved Kenani, and how do you free him? So the Torah gives an avenue of how to free an Eved Kenani. The truth of the matter is that the Torah says you shouldn't free an Eved Kenani. So that's a little bit of a tension, but okay, we're already past that point of tension, and we know that despite the fact that the Torah says lo'olam v'hem tavodu, when there's a mitzvah zeseh that you should have the Eved Kenani owned by you in perpetuity, and even generationally, that's all true, but nevertheless, there is an avenue, there's a pathway for his emancipation, and that's going to come in the form of shichur. What you're going to do is you're going to free him. So the fact is that there are two aspects of the shichur, as we've now been discussing for the last number of days. Number one is that he's an asset. You own him, and number one is that you have to remove your financial ownership over him. You could be makdish him, you could be mafkir him, you could be mocher him. Now, mocher is not going to be that helpful, because when you're mocher him, that means that you're going to lose your financial asset, but somebody else is going to gain it. So that's a bad example, but you can gift him, but then again, the other person is now going to own him. How about I just go back to what I said previously? You are mafkir. Okay, so you relinquish your financial ownership, and that's fine, but now on top of that, also you have to write a get shechur as well. You also have to write a actual document. Now, the documentation in order to release him is not much different than that of a get isha. In fact, the Gemara on a number of occasions over the last couple of days had made a connection between, just like a woman is going to be severed ties via get, so too is an eved kenani also going to be emancipated with that of a get. Kesef is another way in which an Eved Kenani can also obtain his status. Okay, this, however, was a debate amongst the Tanaim earlier in this perek, in terms of whether or not Kesef is going to be an avenue in which he's going to be able to gain his status. Meaning, again, Kesef, as I say Kesef, I mean not just your asset in him, but rather just in terms of a means of him able to gain his not only freedom, but his status as being a full-fledged Jew, so it could be done via Kesef as well. Okay, so before we start with today's daf, all we need to know, it's not a little bit, but all we need to know is that for an Eved Kenani to gain status, so it can be done either by Shtar, or it can even be done by Kesef as well. Okay, that is just a brief introduction into today's daf, and let's get underway. Tana Rabbanan. Just want one more reminder in terms of Eved Kenani. I know we've gone over this before, but it's just important. It's obviously critical to the understanding of the entire sugya. And that is that prior to him going into servitude, so he was a guy, then once he becomes, I'm going to use the word employed, but employed is not a good word to describe, because it's not just an employment. Once he's under the ownership of a Jew, meaning once he's an Eved Kenani, so now his status changes. He's not a non-Jew. He's not a Jew. He's somewhere in the middle. Okay. In terms of his obligation towards mitzvahs, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs that women are obligated in, which is most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Included in that, a male Eved Kenani also needs a bris milah. So in other words, so from a status standpoint, so he is now upgraded to becoming a partial Jew, and then with chayrus, now he's going to be a full-fledged Jew. And where he's going to be now able to marry a Jewish woman. So it's a transition to go from being a guy to being an Eved Kenani to being now a full-fledged Jew. And we already made this point earlier, and it is a strange point, but we made it earlier, and that is that once you're an Eved Kenani, you can't go backwards. In other words, the only direction you can go in terms of your development towards Yiddishkeit is you can only go forward, you can't go backwards. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we're going to start today with a Braisa. Everything, not everything, most of today's daf is going to be revolving around this Braisa. So let's get the Braisa really clear. Tana Rabbanan, Meshacher Chatzi Avda. So what do? You're Meshacher half of your Eved. Now again, we can view an Eved like any other asset, and so therefore what we could do is we could divide the shares of the Eved. And so what you're going to do now is that you're going to relinquish half of your Eved. Now, not to get confused with yesterday's daf, specifically the Mishnah immediately before this Braisa. So the Mishnah before the Braisa talked about where there was an Eved Kenani who was owned by two partners. Okay. And what we discussed yesterday is that one relinquished his shares and the other one did not. Otherwise known as a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Okay. That's what we discussed yesterday, and yesterday the Machlokas between, the classic Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and what to do now going forward. So Beis Hillel started with the position of, well, I'll tell you what you could do, and that is 6-day work week. He'll work for himself for 3 days, and he'll work for his remaining owner for the other 3 days. And Beis Shammai says untenable, simply because who is he going to marry? There is no options for him to marry. He can't marry Shifcha Kenanis. He's now part Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Yisrael. He's part Eved Kenani. So you can't marry, and so what? So what, you just simply say, okay, marriage is off the table. That's an untenable position. You must get married. Lo tov bara l'shevis yitzara. The Mishnah quoted the Pasuk. And so therefore, right, the Peruvu is a fundamental mitzvah. And so therefore, the Gemara says, okay, no, I'm sorry, not the Gemara. The Mishnah said, that the Beis Hillel eventually capitulated to Beis Shammai. What was Beis Shammai's position? We're going to go to the remaining shareholder and say, okay, you have no choice now, but you must free him. You will, of course, get compensated for your loss, but you must free him in order so that he become a Ben Chorin. That's the machlokas that we saw yesterday between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and it ended up not being a machlokas because Beis Hillel ended up yielding to the position of Beis Shammai. Okay, now.
Who's going to compensate him?
Huh?
Who's going to compensate him?
Yep. Okay, you're dealing with the practicals of it, but that, I'm saying over the simple halacha. Okay, now that we remember the Mishnah from yesterday, now forget the Mishnah, and don't forget it. But in other words, the discussion we're having right now is one owner, one Eved Kenani, and can that one owner now go ahead and release half of his Eved Kenani? Okay, now I know that's strange. It's a strange discussion. What's the point of releasing half of your Eved Kenani? In other words, then you're just putting him in a funny position. But markedly different than what we saw yesterday in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah yesterday, we were talking about two owners, one Eved Kenani. Here, we're just simply dealing with a question, a fundamental question of, can Cheres come in segments? Can it come in pieces? So, Tana Rabbanan, so with that state of Meshachar Chaziyabda, Rabbi Omer, Kana. So, Avachachamim Omerim, Lo Kana. So can you be Meshachar half of your Eved? So Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe says that whatever you were Meshachar, he acquired, meaning he can acquire part of himself. And the Chachamim say, no, it is binary. It is all or nothing. Okay. Now that we have the Machlokes on the table,
What is it? Is it all or nothing?
In other words, if you only were Meshachar Chatzi, yeah, it was zero. He's a full Eved Kenani, according to the Chacham. Full Eved Kenani. So now that we know the machlokas between the Rebbe and the Chachamim, so here come the Amoraim to go ahead and dissect the machlokas. So this is going to be one of those classic situations in which you have machlokas Tanaim, and then layered a machlokas Amoraim, how to understand the machlokas Tanaim. Okay? That's where it gets a little bit complicated, but okay. So Amarab machlokas Bishtar. So yes, it's true that we just saw machlokas tanaim, but that's only when the cheres is done via shtar. The Rebbe savor v'avdei lo nifdaso chupas lo nitan la. So make shtar lekesef ma kesef ben kulo ben chetzio af shtar nami ben kulo ben chetzio. Rebbe will tell you that look, there are two methods, there are two vehicles in which you could be meshachar yaved. You could use kesef, you could use shtar, just like pay kesef. Now kesef, of course, is divisible. And so Rebbe will tell you that just like kesef can be done bichatzain, so to shtar can also be done bichatzain. Okay, and we'll call that a hekesh. Yeah, in fact, not only are we going to call it, it is a hekesh. V'rabanan gamri la la miisha. Maisha chetzia lo af eva nami chetzia lo. Ava bekesef divra kol kana peduya veina peduya. Okay, and according, and the way Rabbah understands it, according to the Chachamim, so if I'm going to be doing it with shtar, it's all or nothing. When I'm going to be doing it with kesef, even the Chachamim would agree, kesef is divisible. Meaning, via kesef, you can go ahead and be meshacher, chatzi eved. And how does he know it? He knows it based on the fact that, look, when you're using shtar, what's the model of shtar? Isha. In other words, a married man and woman. where there, what does Shtar do? Shtar does all. In other words, I understand she's not a slave. I understand that it is a different, it's a different setting, but nevertheless, it is binary. It's all or nothing. We've gone over in this Masechta multiple times. You cannot divorce with strings attached. It is going to be either all or nothing. Either you're divorced or you're married. It's binary. So once we know that shtar, that's true regarding shtar of an isha, otherwise known as get isha, same thing is going to be true when you use shtar with an eved kenani. In other words, and that's called a gzera shava. Ah. So over here, what is Rebbe doing? Favoring a hekesh. What is the chachamim doing? Favoring a gzera shava. Lema bahakimiflagi. Mar savar hekesha adifa. Mar savar gzera shava adifa. And the Gemara is saying, well, maybe at the root of this machlokus is, what is a stronger drasha? What is a better method of drasha? Is it going to be hekesh or is it going to be gzereshav? Lo dekuleama gzereshav adifa. And the Gemara immediately bails on that. The Gemara says, no, everyone says that gzereshav is going to be stronger, preferable. Okay, just an interesting point of the Gemara where the Gemara over here very comfortably says, of course gzereshav is stronger. Stronger than even hekesh. Okay, and perhaps, I didn't say this yesterday, but just a simple suggestion over here. Perhaps the strength of the Gzera Shava lies in the fact that Gzera Shava cannot be manufactured. Ein Adam Dun Gzera Shava Me'atzma Ela Im Ken Kibo Mirabo. Gzera Shava only works when you have a tradition and a Kabbalah. And so therefore, Gzera Shava is now only Mesorah based and not Svara based. And that could be why Gzera Shava is definitely going to be the preferable route. And Allah Hekesh, I could have just as easily argued on behalf of Hekesh being stronger. Ein Allah Hekesh means that you can't challenge a Hekesh. Meaning a Hekesh, once you have a Hekesh and there is something there that is you're able to challenge, we simply ignore it because of the strength of the Hekesh. Okay. Rav Chaim, it's such a good point, right? The Gemara says it. I'm just trying to say pshan the Gemara. So the kuli am gzereshav adifa v'shani achad hikal mifrach. Mali isha shekinen yotza bekesef. Tamar be'ev she yotza bekesef. So the Gemara says, okay, but it could be over here that look. In other words, what Rebbe will tell you is, all right, no connection between eved kenani and isha. Because when it comes to eved kenani, as we've just gone over, how many vehicles are there for him to be released? Two, there's kesef and the shtar. But when it comes to an isha and marriage, there's only one vehicle in which he can be released, and that's only via shtar. So in other words, Rebbe will just simply say to Rebbe, to the chachamim, it's not a good gzera shava. Rebbe Yosef, Amar, okay, so far ad kan. So what do we have over here? Machlokas between Rebbe and the chachamim, and then Rabba's understanding of the machlokas, which is that although Rebbe and the chachamim argue about regarding chatzi, being mishachar chatzi eved, that's only when you're doing it via shtar. But if you're doing it via kesef, kuleyama, everyone would agree that it could be done b'chatzayin. That is Rabba. Okay, pause. Okay, now Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, amar machlokes b'kesef. No, says Rabba. The machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim is regarding kesef. Rebbe, savar, havdei lo nibdasa peduya vein peduya. The v'rabbanan savrei dibra torah kolashem b'nei adam. Ava b'shtar dibra akolo kana. According to Rav Yosef, the entire machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is only when you use kesef. Well, Rebbe will tell you, havdei lo nifdasa. Again, the psukim over here being cited is by Shifcha Charufa. We went over this yesterday. So, havdei lo nifdasa. She's redeemed, she's not redeemed. Which one is it? Rebbe will tell you, yes. That's correct. Half of her is redeemed. And the Torah there is describing kesef. And the Chachamim will tell you, no, havdei lo nifdasa. You're not supposed to darshan those words. Well, those words are the dibra torah kolashem b'nei adam. Havdei lo nifdasa is just simply an expression meaning she was not redeemed. That's all. And the dibra torah kolashem b'nei adam. And therefore, the chachamim will tell you that even with kesef, it's all or nothing. Now, but when it comes to shtar, according to Rav Yosef, divrei hakol, according to everybody, it's all or nothing. Okay, so machlokes between Rebbe and the chachamim, that's the Tanayim. Machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Yosef when the Tanaim are arguing. Okay. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara is now going to be challenging Rav Yosef. And Meshacher Chatzi Avda Bishtar, Rabbi Omer Kana, Vechachamim Omer Lo Kana. So over here, the Braisa couldn't be any clearer. Your Meshacher, your Eved, using Shtar. Now, Rabbi says, and I'm sorry, your Meshacher Chatzi Eved, using Shtar. Rebbe says that he acquired half of himself. The Chachamim said he did not Yufta to Rabbi Yosef to Yufta. And so what do we have over here? A Braisa that clearly refutes the position of Rabbi Yosef. There really isn't much to think about over here. Actually, there's a little bit of what to think about over here. So the Shtarhu de Pligi Abba Bekesef Lo Pligi. Now, when are they arguing about? They're arguing about Shtar. So that means presumably that they're not arguing by Kesef. Now, what does that mean? Rav Yosef, not only are you refuted one time over, you're refuted two times over. So let me have it to you, to Rav Yosef Betarte. Because again, Rav Yosef was saying that when it comes to Shtar, so there's no debate. And when it comes to Kesef, that's where there's the debate. Now, from the Brice that we just learned together, it would seem to be the exact opposite. Or otherwise stated, again, I know there's a lot of information going on over here. Otherwise stated, the Brice is a full support of the position of Rabbo, which means that it would be a full refutation of the position of Rav Yosef. So, Amlecha Rav Yosef, Bishtar Huadin Bekesef. Rav Yosef says, look, I understand I'm not in the best position right now, but let's mitigate the damage. Damage control. Really, the truth of the matter is that I'm with you. The Braisa is not fully with me, but I'm not fully against the Braisa. I will tell you that they're arguing both by Kesef and Shtar. And the reason why they're arguing by Shtar is just simply to show the position of Rebbe, that Rebbe is ready to entertain, that he's Kone Chatzi himself, even using Shtar. Now, if in the defense of Rav Yosef, we're saying that they're arguing both by Kesef and by Shtar, why isn't the Braisa highlighting Shtar? Why isn't the Braisa highlighting Kesef? Why is the Braisa only highlighting Shtar? So the Gemara says because when the Braisa wants to show the strongest flex, right, and it really wants to show off a position, koach dehetera adif. The Braisa always wants to show off the position that is the most lenient. As Rashi explains, Beitz Adaf Gimel, when you're flexing and you're showing off a position, so anyone could be machmir, right? I could be machmir. In other words, what does it mean I'm machmir? It means there's a machlokus and I don't know the halacha, and so therefore I'm going to err on the side of caution. You know what? Let's be cautious. When you're being machmir, it's not you're confident in your position. You're just simply being cautious. Or it could always, of course, be that you are confident in your position, but it's not a flex. In other words, when someone's showing a lenient position and taking a lenient position, not because they want to be lenient, but because they believe, they honestly believe that's the halacha, that's the flex. That's koach de hetera adif. Okay, Tashma. The Gemara now is going to be challenging the position of Rabba. The Tashma. V'havdei yachola kol tamalamer lo nivdasa. Ilo nivdasa yachola kol tamalamer v'havdei. Haketza peduya v'ena peduya. Again, describing the Shifcha Charufa, so she is half redeemed. Bekesef v'shav v'kesef. V'en lila bekesef v'shav m'yayin tam alam rav avdei lo nevdaso chupasa lo nitan la. Ula halon omer v'kasov la sefer krisos ma la halon b'shtar afkan b'shtar. So en li ala chetzio bekesef okula b'shtar. Chetzio b'shtar m'yayin tam alam rav avdei lo nevdaso chupasa lo nitan la. Make ishtar l'kesef. So kesef bein kulo bein chetzio. Ashtar nami bein kulo bein chetzio. Okay, so in this braisa that I just ran through, thank you very much. The braisa using a series of joshas arrives at the conclusion that in the description of the Shifcha Charufa, she is half redeemed. And how was she half redeemed? And the braisa says, I'm glossing over just the word by word translation of the braisa, but basically the braisa is saying, you know how she's half redeemed? Either kesef or shtar. Okay, that's the braisa. Now, who's the author of the Braisa? Of course, at this point in time, we don't know. But that's not the point of the Gemara right now. So, Bishlama l'Rav Yosef Basar d'Isusev Hamani Rebihi. So now the Gemara says, look, Rav Yosef's position has been knocked out. But in the knocked out position of Rav Yosef, so what Rav Yosef ended up saying is that Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing both by Kesef and by Shtar. And over here, we have this unauthored Braisa. And the unauthored Braisa says that you could do Chatzan, you could do halves, using either Kesef or Shtar. So in now our now updated understanding of Rav Yosef, this price is going like Rabbi. Fine. But Ela the Rabba, so Reisha Divrei Kol V'Sefer Rabbi, but according to Rabba, remember, Rabba split the atom. Rabba says that when it comes to Shtar, no debate. When it comes to Kesef, we have a debate. But now I have an unauthored Braisa that doesn't make a distinction between Kesef and Shtar. And in both cases, you could do a Lechatzayin. So now, So Reisha different. I call Sefer Rebbe, and so now the Reisha is according to everybody, and the Sefer is going according to Rebbe. So Amalecha Rabba in Reisha Divrei Hakol v'Sefer LeRebbe. So the Gemara says, yep, that's what you could say. Rav Ashi Amar Rebbe he. So Rav Ashi will tell you that the entirety of the Brisa is Rebbe. It is going to be a little bit challenging to explain how Rav Ashi understand the entire Brisa going like Rebbe, but Rav Ashi, in defense of Rabba, will somehow explain to you that the entire Brisa is going like Rebbe. So Elam Asisin Diktani. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So we have just went through, as I pointed out, a really lengthy discussion, finishing up yesterday's daf, regarding Machlokis, Rebbe and Tanakama, whether or not you can be Meshacher Chatzi Eved, and a question amongst the Amoraim, are they debating Kesef, when you're Meshacher via Kesef, when you're Meshacher via Shtar, are they debating by one, not the other, are they debating by both? That is open-ended, and that's what we've been discussing now for the last 20 minutes. Elam asisin diktani mishechetzi aviv chetzi ben chorin bishlama l'rabba mokim la bekesef adivra kol ela rav yosef lema rebi velo rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, okay, take all the information we just learned, which is a lot, and now we'll plug it back into our Mishnah. Meaning now we go back to yesterday's daf, otherwise known as the Mishnah. We reviewed the Mishnah at the beginning of today's daf. Now the Mishnah is talking about two owners, one of them releasing. Now when one of them is releasing, he's releasing his share. That's 50%. And so now, how did that one owner release him in that 50%? So it could very well be that the Gemara says that according to Rabba, so Rabba will tell you that it's Kesef and Divrei Hakol, because again, according to Rabba, when you're using Kesef, everybody agrees it can be done in shares. That's fine. And now, our Mishnah that we learned yesterday, who could it be? Everybody. It could be Rebbe. It could be the Chachamim. Why? Because they used Kesef. And according to both the Chachamim and Rebbe, Kesef is working in shares. But Ela Rav Yosef, Lema Rebbe, Evela Rabbanan. But according to Rav Yosef, and I'll add our updated understanding of Rav Yosef, Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing, and they're arguing across the board. Rebbe will tell you, you can always split an Eved into halves, whether you use Kesef or whether you Shtar. And according to the Chachamim, you never can. So now that means that when I go back and revisit yesterday's Mishnah, where we're talking about releasing half your Eved, so who is our Mishnah going like? It's only going like Rebbe. It's not going like the Chachamim, according to Rav Yosef. That, you talk about a sentence which is a mouthful. That's a lot. I know in a daf like today, just there are a lot of shitas. There's a lot to keep straight. I'm presenting it a little too quickly. Okay, I'm going to encourage everyone listen again, go over the daf again. So Rebbe Hivala Rabbanan Nama Ravina. So be'evish shudvim v'divrei hakol. So Ravina will tell you now. What Ravina is about to teach us, by the way, is the way I presented the Mishnah yesterday. It is the classic way to present the Mishnah, but now you understand, in light of everything that we just did, it makes it so much easier. Ravina will tell you that the Mishnah that we learned yesterday is talking about where there are two owners. Now, if you're following right now, you're saying, well, isn't that what we've been saying all along? Yes. Meaning, the Braisa we started today's daf, the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe, the Chachamim and Rebbe, was only discussing one owner and whether that owner can go ahead and break up his Eved into shares, freeing half of him, retaining half of him.
How do you buy half the
slave? It's very simple. I'm going to be buying shares, just like you can buy any asset, and you can buy shares.
So then
the okay, the practicals of it, we can get to, but you can do it. Let's just simply say you can do it. It's an asset. So the Gemara is saying that, but when we're presenting the Mishnah, so we're talking about two owners. And why does that make the Mishnah better? Because it's really simple. When all I own is 50%, and I'm now releasing my full holdings, everybody agrees you could do that. Right. In other words, the only discussion and the only debate is when I own 100% and I'm giving up 50%. That's where we have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe. But if I am 50% shareholder, but that's all my holdings, and I give up all my holdings, everyone agree that you could do that. That's different outcome. Amar Rabba machlokes b'shishicher chetzio v'hinei chetzio ava shicher chetzio machar chetzio shenata ma'matana chetzio kemet kanafik minei kule divrei hakol kana. Okay. More on this releasing half of your Eved Kenani. Rabbi now introduces the following variable, and that is, we started off our daf today. I told you the entire daf today is all revolving around this machlokus of the Chachamim and Rebbe. The Rebbe says you can be Meshacher Chatzi Eved. The Chachamim say you cannot be Meshacher Chatzi Eved. And again, we spent most of our morning so far talking about via Kesef, via Shtar. When do they debate? When do they agree? That's been most of our daf now. Now a new variable, and that's Rabba's variable. And that is, what if I release half my Eved, and then I gift or sell the other half? So here now, I am breaking up my Eved into shares, but I'm retaining nothing for myself. Rabba's going to now argue that under those circumstances, everyone agrees that's fine. The only debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim is when you give up half your shares and you retain half your shares. So machlok is b'shecher chetzio v'inir chetzio, aval shecher chetzio macher chetzio. Oh no, some b'matana chetzio kevin dekanafik mina kule divrakol kana. Once you relinquish everything, even though you broke your Eved Kenani up into shares, but once you're giving up all of your holdings, so then it works according to everybody. So Amalei Abaye uvekula lo plige. So Abaye says, I find that hard to believe. Vatanichada, and now we're gonna take two braises, hold them up side by side. Braise number one. So kosev nechasa lishnei avadav. Kano umeshachren zeh zeh v'tani ida kol nechsein nesun leploni ufloni avadai af atzmam lo kano. Okay. Braise number one says the following. Funny situation. Okay, the guy is ready to give up all of his material assets in this world. Better than that, let's make it more exciting. He's got two avadim. He basically says to the avadim, you know what? I'm giving everything I own to the two of you. Why not? I'm moving to Tibet. Okay. Now I'm getting a little silly. But in other words, he's giving over all of his assets to his two avadim. Now, when I say giving all of his assets over to his two avadim, you know what's included in those all of his assets? The avadim. The avadim. In other words, he's basically gifting the asset of the avadim to the avadim. In one braisa, it says, good, they acquired. In another braisa, it says, they have not acquired. Now, let's go on braisa number one for just a moment. In the first braisa, when we talk about acquisition, so it's a little bit funny right now. All I'm doing is I'm just explaining the braisa. It's a little bit funny now, because now I have two avadim that have gained full ownership of the entire estate. Incorporating that entire estate is also them themselves. But here's the strange part, right? Phil, you already figured it out. Here's the strange part, and that is that if the Eved retained 100% of himself to himself, so that's great. He goes free. Why? Because he now becomes the owner of himself. Ah. But now that he has to share the assets together with another Eved Kenani, so that means that I own 50% of the estate, which means that I only own half of me. Who owns the other half of me? The other Eved Kenani. But the first Brisa says, well, that's not a big deal. Meaning, assuming, of course, that they want to be free, I'm assuming they want to be free. So what they'll just simply do is that, look, I own 50% share of you. I'm going to give that over to you. You own 50% share of me. You'll give that over to me. Good. That's braisa number one. In braisa number two, so the braisa number two just simply expresses they have not acquired.
It seems to me like not exactly right half, because they said we divided an asset, okay? A dollar for you, a dollar for me. That's so ever for you and ever for me.
All right.
So it's like, you know.
Okay, good.
I just say half of each.
Okay, good. So I hear you. So my love, so how... Okay, I don't want to get into the specifics right now, because the Gemara is just simply suggesting the following. We have two brises. They are obviously not in agreement with each other. So we need to be masbir the two brises. So my love, ha-rebi, ha-rabbanan. So l'chora, the hezber of the two brises is one's going like Rebbe and the other one's going like the Chachamim. And now, why is this akasha? Because Rabba said that when you relinquish everything, so of course it can be done in halves. Here, we have a perfect example of relinquishing everything. And meanwhile, I'm giving half to one and half the other. Oh. I'm breaking my Eved up into shares. and I'm retaining nothing for myself. And yet we have a brisa amongst, we have a machlokas between two brisas. So the Gemara says, lo, idi v'idi rabbanan. Both of them are going like the chachamim. Ahad amar kulo, had amar chetzi chetzi. And the Gemara now is going to, give numerous different approaches to how to understand the stira between the two brisas. Approach number one, says the Gemara, is that in brisa number one, you said kulo. You gave everything away all at once. In the other brisa, chetzi chetzi. You didn't give everything all away at once, but rather you did so in basically in installments.
But it says
kol means everything, but in installments. And since you did it in installments, so the rabbi would tell you that you could break your Eved Kanani up into shares, but only once you relinquish everything all at once. Once you're doing it piecemeal, it doesn't work. The Hamadik Tani say for the Gemara says, okay, it's a creative answer, but textually, I got problems. Because look at the end of the Brisa. We're going to see it together right now. The second half of the Brisa, which we didn't hear until now, second half of the Brisa actually talks about where he gives away all of his assets in installments. So now, Michlal Dereisha Damar Kulo. So once we have the big reveal of the second half of the Brisa, now we know that the first half of the Brisa was talking about where he gave away all of his assets at one shot. So the Gemara says, well, Purusha Kamefaresh. So what we could do is that we could say that the second half of the Brisa is just explaining the first half of the Brisa. Afatzman lo kanu keitza kegon da'amar chetzi chetzi. Hachinami mistar. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. I know it sounds like a dochik. It sounds like I'm just trying to squeeze an explanation into the Brisa, but the Gemara says the truth of the matter is, we're right. Because the Adi Sakadacha Resha Damar Kulo, Hasha Amar Kulo, Lokanu, Amar Chetzi Chetzi Mibaye, because if we're going to go with our original understanding that the first half of the Brisa is talking about where he gave everything up all at once, and the second half of the Brisa is where he did so in installments, so the Gemara says, if that's true, well, if all at once doesn't work, for sure, installments is not going to work. Imishim halo iria. The Gemara says, as much as that's a fair argument, it's not a compelling argument. Because Tana Sefer Lugluya Resha, Lo Tamar Resha Damar Chetzi Chetzi, Aval Amar Kulo Kanu. So Tana Sefer Damar Chetzi Chetzi, Mechal De Resha Damar Kulo Hachi, Veafil Hachi Lo Kanu. It could very well be that without the second half of the Brisa, I might have argued that the first half of the Brisa was only talking about Chetzi Chetzi and was not talking about Kulo. So the second half of the Brisa is saying chetzi chetzi now shows me first half of the Brisa is talking about kulo. Okay. All right. Ibai Sema, Lokasha. We're now going to go over a second approach. Again, in Brisa number one, this man relinquished everything to his two slaves. And they acquired each other, even though he broke his slaves up into shares. And in Brisa number two, it doesn't work. And what we're trying to do is just simply wrap our heads around how are we miyashiv the two Brisas. We so far had one approach. The Gemara now is going to give us a second approach. Kan bishtar echad, kan bishnei shtaros. How many shtaros did he use in order to go ahead and to release and free his Eved Kanani? Did he use one or did he use two? Okay, and bishtar echad ma'iriya chetzi chetzi afilo amar kulo nami lo kanu. So hachinami kamar af atzman lo kanu bamedvar mamorim bishtar echad. And the Gemara explains, and now, when you're freeing two avadim, you must use two shtaros. Why must you use two shtaros? Very simple. Because the freeing of an Eved Kanani, as we've done numerous times, is compared to that of a get isha. Okay? You're married to two wives. Okay? Can you divorce the two wives using one get? The answer, of course, is no. Each one of them requires their own get. Same thing is true regarding Shechar Evan. You're freeing two avadim, you must be using two documents. The Brisa that says that it works is talking about where you did it correctly, using a double document. Or not a double document. Where you're using two documents. In Brisa number two, where it says it doesn't work, use one document. Okay. Ibai Seima, here we go now with a third suggestion. Lokasha, kan bevasachas, kan bezeacharzev. In Brisa number one, you gave the two shtaros simultaneously. In the second Brisa, you gave the two shtaros, but one after the other. Bishlam abasur lo kani da kani le kana. Kama, ela kama likne nafshe v'likne lechavrei. The Gemara says, well, if I gave the two shtaros one after the other, so what did the first shtar say to the first Eved Kenani? You got everything. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If it's Zach or Zeh, so Eved number one should have received everything. So the Gemara says, Alam Achvarta Kedishin Meikara. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to abandon really quickly that suggestion. You were right. That suggestion is recanted. Next, Rav Ashi Amar Shani Hasam Dekakari Le Avadai. The Gemara now entertains another possibility of why in Braisa number two it doesn't work, and that is because as much as you're freeing them, you're still calling them your avadim. Now that answer requires a lot more thinking. I know I'm going to go quickly in today's daf, but really, if you think about it, that's a little bit strange. In your freeing them, since you call them an avid, it means you're not really freeing them. Amalei Rafa LaRavashi V'Doma Avadai Shayukvar. In fact, the Gemara itself is like a little bewildered. Or in other words, the word avadai just simply means you were my avadim. He's just using a way to describe them in, even though he's changing their status, he's just describing them in the manner in which he's used to. And it could just simply be interpreted as, you used to be my slaves. So, mi lo tanana kosi kol nechasa la'avdo yatsa l'cheros. So, shayar karka koshu lo yatsa l'cheros. So here we get to it's a Mishnah Peah. Right, you're writing over all your possessions to your Eved, so he goes free. If you're leaving over a karka kol shehu, in other words, there's a carve out in the gift, so then he does not go free. We don't know which karka he was referring to, and so since something is withheld, so therefore he doesn't gain his freedom. Truth of the matter is, this Mishnah and Pei, I'm not going to go over in detail right now. Considering that the Gemara just wants to make one singular point from the Mishnah, and then Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Olam Hu Ben Chorin Ad Shiomer Kol Nechsein Nesun Laploni Avdi Chutz Me Echan Miribu Shebehem. So and Rabbi Shimon's of the position that the only time that such a gift does not allow for the freedom of the Eved is only when there is a percentage of the estate that is not given over to the Eved Kenani. And as long as there's a percentage that's withheld, that percentage can be represented by the actual Eved Kenani himself. Again, the Mishnah Peah right now, it's obviously important, but for our purposes right now, we're just making one singular point. The Gemara makes it right now. Now, over here, what has to be withheld for the Eved not to go free? The Tanakhama has a viewpoint, Rabbi Shimon has a viewpoint, but if there was no withholding and there was a full gifting to the Eved Kenani, he's going to go free. And Amai Vaha Eved Kakarile. Now, what did you describe him as in this contract? Yes. You described him as an Eved and he's going to go free. Ela Avdi Shayakvar Hachinami Avdi Shayakvar. And the whole point from the Mishnah Peah is that when you said Eved, what you meant was Avdi Shayakvar. My former Eved. Okay. Pause. Mem Beis Amud Aleph, first half of the daf today. We had a machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Can you be Meshacher half of your Eved? So that's a machlokas. Rabbi says yes. The Chachamim say no. Yesterday, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, which we covered this morning, we went through, are they arguing about Kesef? Are they arguing about Shtar? Are they arguing about both? That was one machlokas. That's a machlokas Amorim between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. In today's daf, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, another wrinkle, and that is that instead of breaking your Eved up into shares where you gift or sell part of it or relinquish part of it and retain part of it, that's a machlokas. But if you're giving everything up, but you're breaking them up into shares, according to Rabbah, everyone agrees that you could do that. That your Eved Kenani is divisible in shares as long as you don't retain anything for yourself. And that's not subject to a machlokas. And the Gemara just spent a full amud discussing that position of Rabbah.
So if no one can divide it, how does someone buy it?
We just said it is divisible.
It's divisible, but how is it divisible if you can't give up part of it?
I'm unclear. I'm not following.
You just said that if he owns the whole thing,
right?
He can't give up part.
Well, again, that itself is a machlokas. But let's take the position that he can't give up part. So, but what Rabba's arguing in today's daf is that if you give up everything, but you just simply break him up, I'm going to give him half of himself. I'm going to sell you the other half. So, according to Rabba, that you could do.
But only if you give
if as long as you relinquish as long as you relinquish 100% of your shares, you could do that.
Okay, so you can sell it, but you can't in part, but you can't keep any part.
Correct. Nagro Shor. We are on the very bottom of Membez Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Okay, now over here we're gonna go back. We're gonna go back to the mission yesterday where I had two owners of the Eved Kenani, one in freedom and the other one didn't. Now, it's true that we ultimately said we're gonna go to the remaining owner and force his hand. That's true. But for a moment, however, let's go back in time. 3 days a week he's working for himself. 3 days a week he's working for his remaining owner. Now, Nachoshur. So Yom Shel Rabo LeRabo. Yom Shel Atzmo LaAtzmo. So now there are damages to take into consideration. A shore damaged him. So the shore obviously is not going to pay. The owner of the shore is going to pay. Okay? Now, who is he going to pay? So it depends on which day of the week he's working. If he's working on one of his days, so he's going to be able to recoup those damages. If he's working on I'm an Eved and my owner owns me days, so then the damages are going to be paid towards his owner. Now, I understand, by the way, that we're going back to Mishnah Rishona. It's a little bit strange, but the Gemara here is interested in the conceptual. So, Elamiata, so Yom Shel Rabo, Yisa Ish Shivcha, Yom Shel Atzma Yisei Baschar, and the Gemara has a fantastic suggestion. So now, that basically we just said that the payments of damages are going to be predicate of which day of the week it is. Is it a his day or is it a my master day? So then I got this great idea, says the Gemara. How about on his day he's married to a Jewish woman? How about on a master day he's married to an Eved Kenani? Or a Shivcha Kenanis. Sorry. So Isura, so Yisa Baschorin, Isura Lo Kamrinan. The Gemara says, no. Even the Brisa is only talking about money, the Brisa is not talking about Isser. In other words, when it comes to Isser, he's split. He's split. In other words, he's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. But in terms of money, money, however, can be a predicate of which day of the week it is. Tashma. So, So let's say I have a shor, and let's call it a shor muad. And what it does is it kills a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. So what do I do now? Now, over here to understand the Gemara, all we need to know is just basic halacha. And that is that when your shor kills somebody, if it's a free person, so you have to make a payment, it's called kofar. If he's an Eved Kenani, so you have to pay a kanas of shloshim shekel. Okay? And so what you're sure it was Muad did is it killed Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So no sin Chatzi Kanas Rabo v'Chatzi Kofar LiYorshav. So the Gemara says that what we're going to do over here is that you're going to be taking the payment and you're going to be splitting it. Half of it is going to go to the Eved and half of it's going to go, well, the Eved's dead. Half of it's going to go to the Yorshim of the Eved, the other one's going to go to his, and the other half is going to go to his master.
How does he have Yorshim?
Huh?
How does he have Yorshim?
Yeah, who exactly are going to be his children? Excellent question. In other words, right now, currently.
Yorshim have to be, he had the kids when he was the Chatzim Ben Chorin, because they don't belong to the Rabbah.
I'm going to suggest that your question is better than my answer. I'm going to suggest that maybe historically, before he was Chatzim, he had children. But he's an Eved Kenani and they don't yarshin him. I already knew as the words were coming out of my mouth, it wasn't going to work. Okay, allow me to think about it some more. Okay, Amai Hachinami Lema Yom Shel Rabo LeRabo Yom Shel Atzmo LaAtzmo. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Why don't we just simply say it's a predicate of which day of the week it is? So Shani Hachadeka Kal Yakarna. The Gemara says it really. You have to see it differently. In other words, if we're talking about damages, injury, and right now we're talking about where he's just getting recouped for those damages, so then you can say it's a predicate of which day of the week it is. However, if we're talking about where death, and now there's only a one-time payment to make good on the death. Okay. You understand? I'm only talking financially. Right. This is strictly a Gemara discussion. We're just dealing with the finances. So if it's a one-time payment to make good on the death, so then that becomes divided. So the Gemara says, and what's an example where it's lo kalya karna? damages, like I just got done describing, where basically what happens was is he got hit in the hand, and now disability, can't work. So the Gemara says it works out well for Abaye. Why? Because according to Abaye, there's something called Sheves Gedola, Sheves Ketana. When we get to the 8th parak of Baba Kama, I will do this a lot better. Okay? Bli Neder. But right now, for our purposes right now, Sheves Gedola, basically big disability. Sheves Ketana, little disability. Okay? Here's a good way to understand. Rashi over here goes through it in more detail, but just a good way to think about it. Right? Big disability falls, basically, it categorically, this is an accounting discussion, it falls under Nezek. Little disability basically falls under Sheves. Now, why is that important? Because we know that when being damaged by an animal, there's only Nezek, there is no Sheves. The Sheves category is only when it's person-on-person damage. Nizke Adam, not Nizke Shor. So the Gemara says, so now I understand that when the shore goes ahead and does damages to the Eved and your Abaye, where there are two categories of what is called Sheves Gadol, Sheves Katan, right? Sheves Gadol, Sheves Ketana. So that's great. Meaning then there would in fact be a payment. But Ella Rav Adam Reino Nosin Lo Ella Shifto Shebechol Yom Vayom. So Hai Shor Hu Veshor Eino Meshalem Ella Nezek. But according to Rava, we're going to get stuck. Why? Because the shore is doing the damage. According to Rava, there's only little disability. Little disability falls under the category of Sheves. When it comes to Nizke Shore, there just simply is no payment to Sheves. So Ibai Seima Kishikao Adam. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not a taxing question. Because the truth of the matter is that we don't know who did the damage. You could just simply say the damage was done by a person. Where there is a category of Sheves. And Ibai Seima Memra Hu Memra La Rav Lo Sfirle. Alternatively, says the Gemara, it's a memra, and as far as Rav is concerned, memras are not going to are not going to bother Rav. When the Gemara says it's a memra, so Rashi writes over here. So interesting. Rashi writes over here. Ibai zemel olam b'shor uchabai damer shayach b'dinezek. So hach memra ba'almehi. Sorry, I went one Rashi ahead. Hach memra. Meaning that in order for something to be authoritative and be used as a challenge, it has to have basically the stamp of either being a Mishnah. Well, that we know. Alternatively, a Braisa. It's interesting. This Rashi says that even Braisas have a certain authoritative nature to it. Now, right? It's a very nuanced idea. Mishnayos are obviously canon. Meaning that's, you know, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That's the backbone of Torah Shabbat Peh. Braisos, literally the word means barah. It's outside. It's not canon. But obviously, it's a braisa. It carries a lot of weight to it. This Rashi is now explaining to us that there really is now even a third tier. Meaning there's Mishnah, there's braisa, and then there's something called memra. Right? In the context of this Gemara over here. Like really something which is cited but not as authoritative, even less authoritative than that of a braisa. Mishnah, Braisa, Memra, just a really interesting tier level of the degree of authority of a Tanaitic statement, and whether or not it can be used as a question, just a interesting end over here. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we'll start with a new question. Okay. Oh, okay, good, okay. Good, because I got nothing. So I'm happy it's coming up. Okay, let's quickly recap, let's review. Okay, can you be Meshachar Chatzi Eved? Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Rebbe says yes, the Chachamim say no. Is there going to be a difference when I'm using Kesef versus Shtar? That's a Machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Not even in the review right now, I'm not prepared to go through all the shitas. But that's a machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. And even within shitas Rav Yosef, by the way, we had an updated view of Rav Yosef. So that already carried a lot. That was all of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Then today's daf, Mem Beis. Mem Beis Amud Aleph. What if I break my Eved Kenani up into shares but retain nothing for myself? Rabbi wants to make the argument that everyone agrees you could do that. That would work. And the Gemara spent almost the entirety of Mem Beis Amud Aleph reviewing, going over that viewpoint. Then on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, a question. Going back to Mishnah Rishona, where he works half the week, and for himself, half the week for his Evan. So now what about Nezek? So is Nezek now going to be paid per diem, meaning based on which day of the week it is and based on who he's working for? So the Gemara says yes. But with a distinction to be made, whether we're talking about damages, which is just simply a recoup of loss that he incurred via damages, versus, let's say you're sure Murad killed him. If you're sure Murad killed him, even within Mishnah Rishona, what you're going to do is break a payment. Half the payment's going to go to him via kofar. Half the payment is going to go to his owner via kenas. Okay. Now he's dead, by the way, so who does the payment go to? Not to him, but to his heirs. Yet to be discovered how he has heirs. Looking forward.